Hi, and welcome back to CISPA TLDR, the podcast from the CISPA Helmholtz Center for Information Security, where we talk about cybersecurity and AI in plain language. No buzzwords, no prerequisites, just real conversations with the researchers working on these challenges. I'm Tobias Ebelshäuser from the communications team, and don't worry, like many of you, I am not a computer scientist myself. Now, these episodes are a bit special because CISPA researchers are getting ready to present their latest findings at USENIXT 2025, which is one of the world's leading conferences on security and privacy. So I thought it would be the perfect moment to sit down with some of the authors that are presenting there, the ones from CISPA, of course, and ask them to share what they'll be discussing with their peers in Seattle. So my guest today is Divyanshu Badwash, a returning guest, actually. You might have heard him on another episode here before. So welcome back, Divyanshu. Thanks for coming back.
Thanks, Tobias. Always great to be back.
So as last time, you're still a PhD student here at CISPA. Last time you were on our podcast, you were presenting a paper focusing on protecting children from abuse through client-side scanning on mobile phones. This time around, you're still focused on mobile phones, but from another angle. You conducted a user study on phones, thefts, and how affected people deal with the aftermath of those. Let's get right into it. Our phones are so important today. So we basically do everything on them, from banking to shopping to everything. So I think it's fair to say that getting it stolen is something most of us don't even want to think about. But what did inspire you to go into this line of research?
Exactly that. We don't think about it.
Yeah.
You know, in today's world, phones have become such an extension of ourselves. We have literally everything in our phones.
Yeah.
And when they get stolen, the situation gets very difficult to navigate. Then this entire line of research started with this one simple question. Would you rather lose your wallet or would you rather lose your phone?
Yeah.
And I asked this question to many different colleagues. And most of them replied to me saying that they would rather lose their wallet than their phone, which was kind of surprising. But then when we thought about it, we were like, yeah, that does make sense. I mean, everything that's in your wallet, there is a way, you know, you could recover everything that's lost, apart from the money, of course, which you don't get back.
Yeah.
but everything else, there's a set guideline of how you could, you know, try and get it back.
Yeah.
However, when your phone's stolen, there's no such set procedure to follow. And you'd just be lost on where to start and how to go about it, right?
And phone is usually also more expensive than the normal amount of cash you'll be carrying.
Absolutely. That's also one point where the actual device is, in today's world, is quite expensive. Easily 1,000 euros or a little bit north or south of that.
Okay, so when you realize that most people really do not want to lose their phone and do not have any idea on like what they would even do after the fact, then you realize, okay, this is something I really need to find out more about.
Yeah, exactly. The lack of structure and paired with like the emotional stress that you get from losing your phone kind of makes this a uniquely difficult challenge. And we really wanted to understand, you know, what exactly happens, how people react, what are like the pain points, and how can we help vendors and service providers improve in the situation?
Okay. So whenever we talk about what users actually do, what they experience, we usually talk about the domain of usable security. That is the part of security you're working on. Maybe you can explain a little bit what that is and why it is important for security as a whole.
So usable security is about making security systems more understandable, more usable for everyday users like you and me. It is important because, you know, when most systems can fail and based on what users can or won't do, and therefore it's important to understand how people behave in daily life. It's like putting themselves in the shoes of the people and trying to see how they go about their life.
Okay. Yeah, makes sense. All right. So for your paper, you actually did exactly that because you asked people about their recent experience with phone theft. Why are user studies like this so important for your research?
Like I've said, like user studies like these help us kind of understand how people approach these situations in real life, right? When something like this happens, how do they react? What are their main concerns about? What do they most struggle with? What do they care about most?
Mm.
And therefore, it's kind of important to understand these factors when we're trying to build systems that protect people.
Yeah. Okay. But how do you go about building a user state like this? So how do you find people who had their phone stolen recently? Did you wait in front of the police station in Saarbrücken?
No. But it starts... most of our research starts with like trying to figure out the question that we want to answer.
Yeah.
And in this case, it's about how people react to and protect themselves against phone theft. And then you would think about, okay, what is the best way to answer this question?
Yeah.
And it would be to actually interview people who have had their phone stolen.
Because they have actual experience with it. Yeah.
Exactly. Because, you know, phone theft is such a thing that only people who have really experienced it can tell us what it felt like in that exact moment.
Yeah.
It's stressful. It's people feel disoriented.
Yeah.
They don't know what to do. And then, like you rightly pointed out, it's hard to recruit these people. So when we started looking online about people who had lost their phones, we saw a lot of posts on Reddit.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, explaining that they'd lost their phone, but also asking for help.
Mm-hmm.
And so we realized that Reddit is a good forum to recruit people. And so we posted our study in different subreddits. Of course, we had previously talked to the moderators of these subreddits to tell them, hey, we want to do this. And that's how we ended up recruiting 20 people from 9 different countries. We, of course, screened more people, but in the end, we interviewed 20 people.
Okay. Okay. 20 people who had recently stolen their phones. Yeah, let's talk about their experiences. Did you find that they, like before their phones were stolen, was that something that was even on their mind? Did they take any serious steps to prepare for the possibility, or were they just, oh, now it's gone? What does happen now?
No, I can tell you that they were not prepared.
Yeah.
There's this inherent optimism bias, like this is not going to happen to me. So I don't need to worry about it, right? I know most people relied on very basic protection mechanisms like normal people would, you know, a screen lock, which with biometrics, which is usually backed up by a PIN.
Yeah.
And this is what most people relied on to help protect them in case their phone was even stolen. A few people were more aware of advanced features like tracking, but even then they were not really sure how it works. So all in all, I wouldn't say that people are prepared for something like this.
Okay. Okay. And yeah, I mean, if someone steals my phone, if I think about that, I mean, obviously it's locked. I have an iPhone, it has Face ID, or I don't know, my older iPhone used to have a fingerprint. Does that help anything? So is you feel at least a little secure that someone is not going to access all your data, but is that something that actually helps, or?
That is true. Some kind of a biometric definitely helps, but that is until you're for sure know that your PIN has not been stolen, right?
Yeah, true.
The attacker could have just been sitting for hours behind you, getting one digit at a time or something.
Yeah, true.
Figuring out your 6-digit PIN, and once he has all the 6 digits, he's in total control.
So you don't really even know if that happened. So
exactly.
You can't really be sure if someone can access your data, your phone. As you said, your whole life is on your phone right now.
Especially in crowded situations, you really don't know if this person was like all the time behind you and just, you know, checking you out or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. You already said that users tend to underestimate the risk of losing their phone, which would, you know, explain why they are not paying a lot of attention to, is someone watching me enter my PIN or anything? So yeah, it's an interesting topic to think about.
Mm-hmm.
But what were some of the first things that people did right after they realized their phone were gone?
We received various responses. I mean, some people tried to run after the person who stole their phone, which is not something we recommend, by the way. It can be very dangerous. So please don't do that if your phone's ever stolen. And then there was like two school of thoughts, right? There were some more technical people who were like trying to track their phone or activate lost mode or something from Find My. And then there's like this more social kind of people who were like, you know, calling their friends or their parents or like trying to not from their phone, but like
from someone else's phone,
asking for help, also going to the police and looking for help there, although that was not really helpful in all the cases. But, you know, taking a more social approach to this.
Okay. So you mentioned these technical features like Apple's Find My. Google has something similar. Not sure.
Find My device as well.
How were they any effective in recovering their device, or at least like locking it so you are sure that it's your data will not be compromised in a way?
So Find My doesn't, I mean, it does to some extent lock your phone. Mm-hmm. So what you could do is like you could, if you're locked in to Find My and if you're activated Find My, you could like track your phone. See where it is at. You could also remotely lock it, mm-hmm. which is helpful. But then again, as long as the attacker doesn't have the PIN.
Yeah.
And so they are, of course, helpful. What they do also provide is the option to remotely wipe the phone.
Okay.
So in case you for sure know that you're not going to see this phone ever again, it is kind of helpful to wipe the phone. However, we found that this is also something that people just don't want to do. Mm-hmm. They're like, yeah, if I do that, it's kind of, you know, agreeing that I'll never see this phone again.
Okay. And so they're still hopeful that they might get their data back.
They want to still have this hope that they might at some point get their phone back.
Which only applies if you don't really have a backup, right? Because otherwise you shouldn't really care.
That is true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So these features that Apple and Android do provide, they are helpful in different cases. The problem we realize is that most people are not aware of these features. And even if they kind of like hear the name of it or something, they really don't know how it functions. Sometimes, even if they do know how it functions, they don't have like a secondary device really with them, which they could, you know, log into Find My network. Even if they could find a second device, then the problem is that you want to log into it and then it requires two-factor authentication most of the time.
And your phone is with another person.
Exactly. Yeah, so you see how it starts to get like tricky and you're sliding down a rabbit hole.
Okay, so that is a sound security advice to actually enable two-factor authentication, because especially in iCloud or in the Google Cloud, there's a lot of your data stored, so you don't want anyone accessing it. But here it can actually hinder you from getting your device back if you don't have a MacBook or anything at hand.
That is true. In these cases, 2FA is actually a hindrance. However, we still recommend activating 2FA wherever possible for every service on your phone. However, yes, in this case, what happened was when people tried to log into their Find My or like Apple ID and then go into their Find My network, they couldn't because the one-time password or the two-factor was coming on their phone that was with the thief. Okay. and therefore, it was creating a hindrance, which to the point that even some people were like, yeah, I'm not going to turn on 2FA ever in any of my services because, you know, you market it as a thing that's supposed to protect me, but in the end, it's working against me. So,
But it's interesting. I mean, what could even be a workaround for that? I mean, would just need another device then.
Yeah, you would definitely need another device.
Yeah.
And so not just SMS-based one-time passwords, but more like you could have authenticator websites or apps where you could.
True. Right. Yeah. With an authenticator website, you could just open in your browser, which would be then on the developers of the mobile phone OSs to actually implement. Okay. Right. Of course. So phone gone. People are worried. Okay, their phone's gone. It might have been expensive. they don't have a means to recover it. But what did you find it? What were people most worried about? Like losing their photos, losing their private messages, or someone getting access to all of these things?
I mean, all of it, right? It was like it varied from person to person. Mm. But what we could definitely see is that photos were super important. They carry sentimental value to people, and somehow people were not sure of when their last backup was, and so they were worried that, hey, I might have lost photos of this trip or whatever. So photos was definitely one of the most important things. Then we did have financial apps, because these days your phone is basically your bank.
Yeah.
You could use it to pay for anything, anywhere. And not just that, I mean, you could also like perform different actions at your bank from your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, so transfer money from your actual bank account to someone else, change your limit or something, stuff like that. And then there's, of course, Apple and Google Pay, which you simply tap your phone and you could make a payment. These are, in theory, protected by biometrics. But if you right now try it out, where you try your Apple ID, just hide your camera with your hand, two times it'll ask you for, you know, it'll tell you that can't see your face. And the third time it prompts for the PIN.
Yeah.
And then again, if the attacker knows the PIN, they could simply access Apple or Google Pay with that.
Yeah. Okay. So in a way, it sounds like transferring all our life onto these smartphones and not adequately securing it against abuse is not a good idea, or there has not been a good idea.
You'd be right to say that.
But what do you think? Do you think phone vendors, service providers, they could do or should do more to protect users? Is it on them to actually, or is it on users to take steps to prepare better for the eventuality?
I mean, so there's two schools of thought. I think I'm more from the school of thought which doesn't want to burden users more. And so I definitely think that phone vendors could do more to help people. For example, we talked about backup now and wiping the phone and whatnot. What could be an option is that whenever a person goes to wipe their phone, the phone could display a message saying, don't worry, go ahead and remotely wipe your phone. Your last backup was 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And these are the things, you know, a list of things that we have backed up, so don't need to worry about it.
Okay.
So kind of provide confidence to the user.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that we kind of propose in our paper is like this high security mode,
mm-hmm.
where once you are in this high security mode, most essential actions that you want to perform require biometrics.
Okay.
So we realized that, you know, when you're at concerts or crowded transport transports, you kind of want to protect yourself more than usual. And therefore, this high security mode is automatically triggered based on like location, or like if you have like concert tickets in your wallet, like the Apple wallet or something.
Yeah.
And contextually, this is automatically triggered. And for this amount of time, you are in this high security mode, which is protecting you better.
Okay.
Another thing I think which we realized in these interviews where people are social and they were turning to their family and friends for support. What could be done by vendors is that, you know, you could create a list of emergency contacts.
Okay. Yeah.
And you could like, you know, reach out to them, and they, instead of you, could also lock your phone. Yeah. Stuff like this.
Which would solve the 2FA problem.
Exactly. So remove the burden from the user, but also still make it easy for the phone to be locked.
Yeah.
You would, of course, have to define these emergency contacts beforehand, probably even when you set your phone or something.
Yeah. But still, I mean, that does not sound overly complicated.
No, it's not.
Okay. How has this research changed the way you think about your own smartphone security? Do you worry more? Do you like, has it sort of opened your eyes to the... In the beginning, you said you don't even want to think about it, but now you have thought about it a lot and you wrote about it and you will be talking about it soon at a conference. So does their smartphone never leave the grasp of your hand?
That is true. I have been more paranoid about my phone now, thought more about, you know, what could go wrong, and if it should go wrong, how I would have to respond. Doesn't help that, you know, I'm traveling a lot, and then it's crazy, right? Also, our transport is on our phone now. You'd use Google or Apple Maps to navigate. You have your flight ticket, your bus ticket, everything is on the phone. Yeah,
I think for my last vacations, I had nothing besides my phone who would have identified me in any way. I have a passport, okay, and maybe they have my name somewhere, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Still.
So it is definitely a strange and worrying situation, yeah. Especially if you're traveling, because we also had quite a few participants who actually lost their phone while they were traveling, and sometimes it was even worse.
Yeah.
Also like for contacting your bank or something, because you really can't, and then the bank would like you to prove your identity because you're not calling from where you'd usually call whatever. Yeah. So I'm definitely more paranoid about my phone.
But what steps do you take to like protect yourself more, like with all the things that you've learned now?
So of course, like I, as a researcher, am more involved in these technologies and the features that vendors and OS providers provide. So I look into them. I try to make sure that I read up on them and see how they function, turn them on. Because a lot of times these are not turned on by default, which is also something that's that should be fixed, I think. And yeah, like pay attention to what's going on. There are new features, how they could help you in certain situation. Yeah. Sometimes also play out edge cases.
Yeah.
But what we did realize in the interviews were like, at some point people shift from technical measures to like non-technical measures. Okay. They're like, yeah, just don't take out your phone anywhere in the public transport. We also had a person who said they now use a burner phone when they go to a concert.
Okay. Which is, that's a measure, but...
Yeah, like just have a different phone.
Yeah, okay. Then again, that might be a trade-off between like convenience and security, which brings us also again to why usability is important. I mean...
Always, right? The real challenge, I think, is designing protection mechanisms which feel seamless and not inconvenient. And good security in my head should be seamless, where you don't even notice it. It's barely noticeable, but it can save you in different situations. And right now, too many of these protection features kind of want the users to behave like experts, which is not the case. And I think this needs to change a little bit, where people can just be themselves. However, the security mechanisms are still protecting them.
Okay. But is there like one feature or one thing that you would recommend every smartphone user to do, because it's like it helps you to just, I don't know, lose that panic in the moment it happens.
Mm-hmm. Apart from backing up your phone, which it's not a feature, I think it's just a good practice that everyone should do. I think turning on or like registering in your phone into the Find My network and making sure you have another device that's locked in. To this network. So in case you ever lose your phone, you're able to track it and, quickly disable it or wipe it, depending on how the situation played out.
Okay. Of all the people that you talked to, did someone actually get their phone back?
So out of the 20 people, 3 of them got their phones back. And the common thing for all 3 of them was that they were very fast in turning on or like remotely locking their phone. Okay. So turning on lost mode. And what lost mode also does is kind of allow you to write a message on the phone saying, hey, this phone was lost. If found, please return to, or like, please call a second number, or your friend's number, your parents' number, whatever. And this really helped in certain cases. However, in some cases, this number was then also subject to phishing attacks.
So, okay.
People received messages posing to be Apple and, hey, we found your phone. If you want to know where it is, please click this link and log into your Apple ID.
To remove the...
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So once they could get your credentials, they would remove it from your Apple ID and resell the device.
Okay. Because
basically, I think the most important thing that all 3 of these people did was turn on lost mode.
So it still does help in a way.
Definitely, because it kind of lowers the value. It becomes like a brick.
Yeah.
And then if someone's just stealing it for the resale value,
So it has to be sold for parts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. All right. Thanks, Divyanshu. I'm sure your colleagues in Seattle will enjoy hearing all about that paper. But before I can let you go catch your flight, I have to ask you some quick questions before I can let you go. So after all this, do you or have you already bought your burner phone for the next travel?
No, not yet. I think I will stick to my own phone.
So, okay, so your trade-off between convenience and security is still too big.
Yeah, I mean, like we've already established, like a lot of my life is on my phone now, and I just cannot have a burner phone for a week.
You have to print your flight tickets.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay. More general question. What is the most surprising thing that you've learned in your cybersecurity research so far? I mean, you've done a few things in usable security already.
That humans are like the wild card. Like you could design like the most secure system and someone will write their password on a sticky note and put it on their desk.
Yeah.
So, which is why I kind of advertise our research area a little bit, which is why it's awesome if you could study humans, how they behave in the wild, and then build systems to at least reduce the randomness a little bit.
Yeah, they're kind of the weakest link, right? I mean,
I wouldn't say that. I think it's upon us researchers to not make them feel like the weakest link and empower them with systems that, you know, like I've said, make it more seamless.
Yeah.
They do their job and don't have to think about security.
All right. So we're trying to beat the constantly online allegations here. If the whole internet went down for 24 hours, what is the first thing you'd do right now?
Oh, that's a tough question. Probably go outside and touch grass.
It seems to be the solution, yeah.
And then come back and feel like people who've like lost their phone, like disoriented, don't know what to do. Probably sleep.
Yeah. Okay, it's only 24 hours. I mean, then you would be well rested and reconnected with nature at the end. Okay. Right now, you can instantly solve one cybersecurity problem. What would it be?
I think phishing, because it's a very low bar for attackers to attack vulnerable people, and especially people who are like aged, senior citizens.
Yeah,
I think it's if I could just solve that right now, this would be the thing that I would like to solve.
Yeah, it seems like one of the most like unfair practices in the whole area.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. AI could now take over one part of your work as a researcher. What will you happily hand off to it?
Transcription of interviews. If AI wants to take my job of transcribing, I mean, I'm not transcribing interviews anymore, but feel free. I mean, transcribe interviews for us. This would be awesome.
I think you might actually be in luck already then, because I think there is a lot of tools coming up that will exactly do that.
That is true.
Like, in video editing, I do that all the time already.
A few of my colleagues are pretty disappointed that they had to transcribe interviews back in their day, but now there's AI systems which basically do that in minutes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, good. I mean, progress for all, you know? Right then. Thank you, Divyanshu. Enjoy your time at the conference in Seattle. I'm sure you'll learn a lot of new things and a lot of people will learn about your new research. So all the best.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on the podcast. This was, again, very fun.
Thanks. And that wraps up this episode of CISPA TLDR. A huge thank you to Divyanshu again for joining us, sharing his expertise on what to do when your phone is stolen and how to protect yourself in advance. If you'd like to explore more of Divyanshu's work, check out the links in the show notes. And if you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to follow or subscribe on your favorite podcast app. And maybe leave us a rating or review. It helps others discover the show. I'm Tobias Ebelsweiser. Thanks for listening. We'll be back soon with more stories from the world of cybersecurity and AI made simple. Until then, take care.